The flurry of plasmoids reminded Grant of giant phosphorescent bees swarming from their hive and converging on him like a blizzard. He maneuvered the Manta in a fast bank, tipping the craft up on its portside wing. The cockpit suddenly flared with a burst of almost blinding white light. A plasmoid skated past, less than a yard above the canopy. He put the Manta into a tight corkscrewing spin, spiraling down toward the bone-white, pocked face of the moon's surface. More bursts of light flashed into the cockpit. Each burst was followed by blackness as the TAV continued to spin, the plasmoid barrage following him down. When the flashes ceased, Grant pulled back on the joystick, steadying the ship and climbing out of the dive. Even as he did, he saw a missile etch a trail of flame against the background of stars. The projectile seared past his fuselage very close, but not as close as the buds of destructive energy loosed by the Devil platform. The missile continued on its downward arc, impacting with a puffball of flame and smoke in the center of the crater far below. Grant swung around in a sharp loop. He glimpsed the enemy Manta ship banking off his starboard side, trying to achieve a parallel course. Grant accelerated, arrowing back toward the hulking sphere of the Devil device. It hung above him like some dark god, untouchable and omnipotent. The other TAV kept up with him, edging ahead to cut him off. Grant allowed him to advance, reducing his speed and then pushing the Manta into a shallow dive. The craft soared past overhead and triggered the mass proximity sensors aboard the platform. The plasmoid battery let loose, peppering the path of the enemy ship. The pilot pushed his craft into a steep climb, almost standing in on its tail assembly. He performed a wide barrel roll, came out of it as twin missiles flamed from the ship's wings. Grant slid his Manta as close as he dared to the outer border of the plasmoid. The globes of energy intersected with the missile's paths and both of the projectiles exploded, washing Grant's cockpit with a flood of orange light. Grant pulled up sharply to avoid flying through the expanding, roiling ball of flame. He swung the Manta around and down again, coming in from below and behind the enemy vessel. It veered away, climbing fast. The pilot seemed to have finally caught on to his strategy of luring him close enough to the Devil platform so its self-defense measures would either drive him off or destroy him. A coruscating white globe swelled in Grant's viewport. In a fraction of a second, he noted how swiftly the plasmoid rotated, little tongues of flame tearing off from it. The closer it came, the more it seemed to elongate until it resembled a shimmering cylinder, not a ball. Grant jerked back on the stick, but the ship shook from stem to stern as the plasmoid struck the fuselage a glancing blow. Static discharges crackled inside the cockpit, and he felt them even through his suit, as if a million ants crawled along his body. Despite the helmet's faceplate and his own impaired sense of smell, the sharp sting of ozone cut into his nostrils. He curved the Manta away from the platform just as the plasmoid batteries were triggered again. He felt the ship shudder beneath multiple impacts before he was able to whisk the craft down and away. A pattern of scorch mark holes had appeared on the portside wing. He twisted the stick, kicked the rudder, and the Manta gained speed. Grant made the ship descend, and he kicked up the speed to maximum. He made an almost vertical bank, and the Manta plunged directly back toward the platform. The craft vibrated dangerously as he continued to push it at peak speed. He kicked the rudder and waggled the wings, tilting the craft from side to side in a controlled yaw as he lanced beneath the platform, tipping up one wing, then the other, to present a smaller target for the plasmoid salvo. As he roared beneath the underside of Devil, he craned his neck upward and saw the top cube of the fusion reactor protruding from between the plates of rust-streaked metal. As he came out on the far side of the platform, the enemy Manta was waiting for him. A missile sprang toward him, but a swarm of plasmoids surrounded it and intercepted its course. For a second, it looked like two swords of light crossing in the night. Then the missile vanished in a billowing cloud of flame. Grant saw the fireball spreading out toward him, and there was nothing he could do but grit his teeth and plummet through it. Beyond the viewport, he saw fiery veils curling past, whipped like radioactive sea mist over his onrushing bow. Something struck the ship, most likely a fragment of missile casing. Then he was in clear space again. He gusted out a relieved sigh, ignoring the beads of sweat collecting between his temples and the helmet's lining. Grant looked around for the enemy TAV, glimpsed it hovering no more than 100 yards away, and banked toward it. To his surprise, he saw how the pilot mimicked the maneuver, trying to maintain a wide distance between the two ships. He guessed the craft was all out of missiles, but some compulsion kept the pilot from retreating. Grant debated whether to ignore him and devote his full concentration to taking out the reactor, or chase the ship off, perhaps even risking one of his two missiles on removing his adversary from the equation altogether. Before he made up his mind, the pilot took the decision out of his hands. The enemy Manta performed a fast hardabout and plunged toward him, as if the ship were the head of an arrow loosed from a compound bow. It pitched up on its starboard wing, slashing through space like a flying axe blade. It followed an unmistakable collision course,